If you'd please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. If you don't know where Exodus is, it's in the New Testament. Somewhere between Matthew and Mark. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed a child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of those Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of water." Please pray with me. Father God, we come right now and we just thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to be able to look into your word. And Father, we're so grateful that you loved us this much. Father, we ask that you open us to whatever it is you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you close us down to whatever is not of you. I pray everything that is said is honoring and glorifying to you, to the most highest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not you guys that I don't love anymore. It's your mom. I don't want to be with her anymore. We will still hang out together, I promise. These were some of the famous last words I heard from my dad as he walked out the door and soon out of mine and my own brother's life. I was about 11, my brother was 9. We saw him regularly for about the next year, and slowly began to decline. The most heartbreaking thing about this situation is that he lived less than 5 miles away. Over the course of the next few years, he would call us, usually only on our birthdays. But that was about it. He would tell my mom, "If they want to talk to me, they can call me." By the time I was 16, we didn't hear from him anymore. Nor did we see him, even on our birthdays. Where is God in all this? It's questions like that that many people are asking when they look at the world today or assess some of the situations they're facing. It is also the question that Pastor Kevin asked us last week. So if you weren't here, I'm going to run through Exodus chapter 1 so that you know why we're talking about some of the things we're talking about. And the big thing that Pastor Kevin emphasized was they didn't know Joseph. They didn't know Joseph. Why? Because they had a new Pharaoh. Not only did they have a new Pharaoh, but when a new leader comes into order, you have a new country. So there was a new Egypt on the rise. And so what did these two things mean for the Hebrews? There was many of them. They populated the entire country. The new Pharaoh became scared. He began to worry. Too many Hebrews running around. If we go into war, they're going to join our enemies. And they're going to fight against us. And when they fight against us and they win, they're going to leave our country. So what did he do? He put slave masters over them and said, you need to make these Hebrews work hard. Made them do slave labor. It was ruthless, right? If you remember Pastor Kevin talking about the ruthless of the ruthless of the ruthless, 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 right? It was ruthless labor that they were enduring. The Egyptians began to dread the Hebrews. So then Pharaoh goes to two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. I'm trying to say it like Kevin did last week. Shiphrah and Puah. Right? Beautiful Shiphrah. And cooing Puah. And he tells them, as these boys are born, right, the girls are okay, you can let them live. But as the boys are born, you need to kill them. Kill them. Well, they feared God more than they feared the Pharaoh. So they let the boys live. And then Pharaoh would come up to him and say, what's going on? Why are you letting these boys live? And they're like, well, these Hebrew women are strong. They have the baby even before we can get there. So he makes another decree. And this time he doesn't just do it to the midwives, but he does it to his entire country. As you see Hebrew boys born, throw them into the Nile. Well, God was so pleased with these midwives that he blessed them with families of their own. So here we are at the birth of Moses. Moses was born into a death sentence. He had a death penalty already on his life. Why? Because he was one of those Hebrew boys who were being born during this period. Well, when his mother and father saw him, they said he was fine. Right? I wonder if he was like fine, like cover of the magazine fine. Right? But what that means is they saw like this nobility of character. Right? They saw this connection with God. Well, if you look at Hebrews 23, it says that they didn't listen to Pharaoh because of their faith. They hid him because they could see that he was no ordinary child. No ordinary child. What does that look like? Did he glow? Right? Did he have a third eye? What does it look like to be not to be an ordinary child? What do parents look at to say, that's not an ordinary kid? I know what it was. He wasn't purple. Right? When my son was born, he came out purple. So I assume everyone's kid comes out purple. Right? But he wasn't ordinary. And then after 3 months, he got too big to hide anymore. So they had to do something. Right? She tried to do the best she could. But she's limited in what she's really capable of. She can only do so much. And so she prepares a vessel. And then she comes up with the master plan. How often do we try to do the same thing? We try to control the situations that we're in, right? We try to use our own thinking and our own strength in order to fix the problem before us. How many of us find ourselves in difficult situations that we may not even be necessarily responsible for, but we still don't know what to do with them? You have a family member, tragedy strikes, you have a family member, right? The provider for the family dies. Now what? What happens to the family members who are left behind? Right? They try to do what they can to keep what they have for as long as they can. Maybe let's just say it's a wife. Maybe the wife goes out and tries to get a job now. But she can't get a job that provides the same amount of income that the husband was getting for the work that he was doing. And now they begin to lose things. For some people, that's devastating. It's tragic. Economic crunch. Companies are starting to cut back. What happens if you are one of those cutbacks? Right? The person who's fired is stay with the same husband and wife thing, right? The husband gets fired, doesn't tell his wife. What does he do instead? He pretends like he's going to work every day and he's out there pounding pavement trying to find another job, but doesn't find anything. Nobody notices until one day a letter comes from the bank and it lets them know that their house is being foreclosed on. What do we do? You're married to a woman. And she comes and you think everything's good. And she says, I'm not in love with you anymore. I wonder if the blindsided spouse, right, the husband, starts to overwhelm and starts to, what's the word that I use? Smother the wife. Letting her know, you still gotta love me. Here's why. Look, I love you so much. And just begins to smother. Now she wasn't getting enough love. Now she can't breathe. I'm not suggesting that these are the only possible outcomes, but they're very prevalent. They happen regularly. But they're all plans of the humanity, right? They're thinking that we come up with ourselves about how to deal with the situation. When do we be like Moses' mother and start seeking something else? I really like what she does in response, right? Because she surrenders, but she doesn't give up. She still fights in a sense, right? And so what does she do? She creates this wicker basket and coats it with tar and pitch. But for me, I began to tell myself, if my dad doesn't want us around, then we don't need him. Began to reject any male authority that came into my life. Why? You're just going to leave me like my dad did? Don't need you. When I graduated high school, my dad sat on the other side of the little stadium that we graduated in, and he was hiding. And when I spotted him, I walked over to him and I said, you know what? I did this without you. I don't need you. He's never been to another graduation again. I also began to see that I was limited, like Moses' mother. When you're a man or a boy growing up, there's certain things people expect you to be able to do. Change oil, fix things. Didn't know how. No one was around to teach me. And most importantly, I didn't know how to be a dad. Didn't know how. I had made the decision when I told my dad that we didn't need him anymore, that I was never going to be like him. Only to find myself slowly slipping into the same patterns and the same behaviors that he had. Couldn't help myself. Didn't think there was any solution. I began to see just how limited I really was. So I began to seek guidance from people who did not have my best interests at heart. Right, last week, some of you guys heard me say, I was in court with 25 charges against me. If you are guiding me and you have my best interests at heart, why do I have 25 charges against me, please? Right, being in court, hearing, I'm facing 8 years in the penitentiary. Those are the people that I was seeking guidance from when I started to begin to realize that I didn't have the tools that I was thinking a man needed to have. They didn't have my best interests at heart. They weren't there trying to get me off, trying to help me paying for my lawyer. But Moses' mother creates this basket. Right, I told you she surrenders, but she doesn't give up. She surrenders by control by taking her son to the place of death. To the place that Pharaoh had decreed, this is where the kids go to be killed. She's not giving up hope that something good can come out of this situation. So rather than just throwing him in, she prepared a vessel. This location that she chose was where Pharaoh's daughter bathed. Well, king's daughters don't bathe in scary places. They can't predict what is going to happen. See, this is why I said Moses' mother had a master plan. She could guarantee so much could take place. Pharaoh's daughter, I know, bathes here, so it's got to be safe. Not only that, but I know when she bathes. So if I put the baby out there, we can see what will happen. And she set her daughter out there just to watch to see. Daughter, watch and see what happens. And Pharaoh's daughter shows up and sees the baby. Now check this out, right? She has compassion, even though she knows it's a Hebrew. Right? Even though she knows, my dad just said, kill all of these babies. My dad just told us this. But something about him doesn't allow me to do that. Some say, some argue, scholars argue, God was in there working in her heart to change the way she viewed it, to change the way she saw it. He put compassion in there for Moses. Now let me tell you this, if Moses died there, the Bible probably stops there. Right? It couldn't continue if he didn't live. So they have compassion. Now the bigger question is, what happens now? Where is God in all of this? Some of you may be thinking the same thing. But God has constantly been working in the background. We can see this by what happens. We have Pharaoh's own household rebelling. Right? Pharaoh's household rebels against him. God not only has a way of teaching evildoers a lesson, but he has a sense of humor as well. Why do I say that? Why? Because the man who liberates the Hebrews is going to be raised in Pharaoh's house. Right? He's going to be raised under Pharaoh's own roof. When Moses' sister sees that the Pharaoh's daughter has compassion, she runs over to her and she's like, would you like for me to go get a Hebrew lady to nurse this child? And Pharaoh's daughter's like, yes, go get me one. And so she runs and she gets Moses' mom. Right? She gets Moses' mother to come, which is her mother. And when she comes, Pharaoh's daughter gives her her child back. But not only that, she says, I will pay you to take care of this kid. Right? So not only do we have Pharaoh's house rebelling against him, but we also have Pharaoh's house supporting the family, giving them a place to live, and mother and son are reunited. Talk about God working. Right? These are the things that happen when control is given up, when we surrender. So let's go back to those three stories. The person who passes unexpectedly. New people have to pick up new roles now. Maybe there's some new people that God wants in the lives of the survivors now. Because things have to change. The job loss. Maybe there's another job God wants for them. And without thinking about a job loss, I would never be looking for that new job. Maybe there's somewhere else God wants me. He doesn't want me in Lincoln. Maybe he wants me in Stockton. Right? There's another location with the spouse not loving me. Maybe there's some new things I need to learn about me or the people around me. Maybe I'm too focused on the non-essentials, work, playing softball, right? The things that don't help my family move forward together. Maybe there's something I'm supposed to learn about people's love languages that teach me how to love you the way you receive love and not give you love the way I think you want to be loved. But God doesn't allow suffering to go to waste. Why? Because he loves us that much. He saved Moses from the death on the Nile to be made right with his family, and he has done the same for us. If you don't take anything away from what I say today, take this away, that the God of Moses is the God of now. The saving God, the God that saved Moses then, is the God that is still saving us today. Many of you are stuck, or many of us are stuck between rock and a hard place, feeling as if we have nowhere to go. There's nothing that we can do. Most of us feel like we're just spinning our wheels, going nowhere. But that's because we keep trying to do things within our own strength. All we have to do is the next right thing and know that God is already working in whatever is taking place. He is Emmanuel, which is God with us. God is not distant and he is not far away. You'll hear that. People will tell you, God's not here. Yes, he is. He's in the mix of what's taking place right now. Remember, I told you about those famous words my dad had for me. This wasn't something that my brother and I asked for, but it was something that helped shape who we are today. As much as I would like to tell you that my dad is in my life, I can't, because he's not. But God had a different plan. God provided men to come into my life. God changed my heart the same way. Remember, I told you, I fought every male authority that came into my life. But something changed when I started to realize just how limited I was in the things that I could do. And God got a hold of my heart and started turning it so that I could begin to receive the things they had for me. They became mentors, spiritual advisors. I got a stepdad out of it, and even role models. God has always been working to prepare both of their hearts to be compassionate and my heart to receive it. Today, because of the collaborative work that they've done together, I am a minister of the word in the Christian Reformed denomination. God has always had a plan for my life, and he knew exactly what he was going to do in order to get me where he needed me to be. Please, don't hear me bashing my dad. My dad is doing the best that he can with what he's got to work with. I'm still in the process of still trying to repair the relationship with him. I call him once every 6 months. I don't necessarily get a phone call back unless my stepbrother needs something. Then he'll call me and say, go help your brother. But we're still working on it, right? Still trying. Haven't given up, right? Just like Moses' mom. Still have the hope that something good can come out of this. Here's the part that I love about this story. Moses' mom, when he got old enough, brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him. God is doing the same thing for us. We are his adopted children. We are his kids. There's no such thing as grandchildren of God. We are all his children. He sent his only begotten son to the cross to die for us, so that we may be made right in his sight. God knows that there is nothing that we can do to warrant or deserve the love that he gives us. But he does it anyways. He pours his grace upon us and saved us from the very things that cause us to be separated from him. He hasn't left nor forsaken us. He is and always will be our Father, God himself. Regardless of what happens here on earth. Thank God for that. Thank God that he never leaves us. He always has his hand upon us. Why? Because we are his children. Please pray with me. Father God, we come right now and we thank you, Lord, for this love that you've given us, Lord, that we weren't worthy to receive, nor did a lot of us ask for it. Father, we're so grateful that we're not alone, that you don't leave us to the things that we endure here on earth on our own. So grateful that your hand and your arms are constantly on us and around us. So grateful that you shower us with your goodness. Father, there's not enough that we could do to say thank you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving the orphans, for loving the widows, for loving those who are just in a hole and can't see their way out of it. Thank you for loving those who know you and are pleased and have had relations with you for all their lives. We thank you for the gamut of people that you love. And Lord, we just continually desire and long to be with you. And we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.